Well, Psalm 5, verse 3, David says, Yahweh, in the morning you shall hear my voice. In the morning I will lay my requests before you and will watch expectantly. I think the idea is that the morning and evening sacrifices, which David at this time, he's writing this on the run, he was unable to be present at, he is replacing those morning and evening sacrifices by extended prayer sessions. But going through the Psalms, you see that actually regular prayer at regular specific times was very much part of the rhythm of David's life. I'll just read you a few others. Psalm 55, 17, morning, noon, and night. My complaints and groans go up to him, and he will hear my voice. Psalm 59, verse 16. But I will sing about your strength every morning. I will sing loud of your constant love. So you get the impression that he particularly gives emphasis to the mornings. And indeed, to start every day in the right spiritual gear is really a crucial habit, I think, of the spiritual life. Psalm 88, verse 3. He says, I cry out all day, and at night I come before you. So in that sense, he's saying that his prayers to God go on throughout the day, but at night he does sort of have a specific time of prayer. So these are all indications that he had a sort of a regime of regular prayer. And he wasn't, of course, the only person in the Bible you can see that in. He particularly emphasizes his prayers in the morning and his prayers in the evening. Psalm 119, which again is when he's on the run from Saul, 147, before sunrise I call to you for help. So it's as if he gets up and starts each day with a prayer. Now, this kind of discipline in spiritual life can easily be misunderstood as sort of legalism and mere ritualism. And of course, that is what it's been turned into in some traditions and in some people's lives. But all the same, unfortunately, by our nature, we will take the path to least resistance. We get sloppy, and it's no good thinking that you don't. It is how we are. And without sort of turning to legalism and ritual, it is also true that there does have to be some sense of discipline in spiritual life. And Paul uses this kind of figure when he talks about us being athletes who need to keep their body in trim, etc., and to keep on training and straining towards the mark, etc. So I urge you to get into a regime of regular prayer, particularly in the morning, and I think also at night in the evening. And he does also say another place that seven times a day, I thank you. And I think the idea of giving thanks to God for food, as long again as it is not mere ritualism, I think is helpful in that, again, it imposes some sort of structure upon our day, that we are brought again into his presence, we are confronted again with the need to thank him and to be grateful. And yet, let's remember that prayer is not simply request. Reading through the Psalms, they're all prayers of David, particularly Psalms 1 to 72. And yet, how many requests are made? In the hundreds of verses that there are there, how many of those verses are requesting something? Very few. It is really a case of sharing your life with God, of being open about your life before God. One final point here from Psalm 5, verse 3. He says, in the morning I will lay my request before you and will watch expectantly. Well, you could read that as saying, yep, don't pray as mere ritualism, but pray with the full expectation that the answers will come and watch expectantly for them. But Psalms 3 and 4, which are the two psalms preceding the Psalm 5, have all been in the context, I think, of David fleeing from his son Absalom, when Absalom is trying to kill him and take over control. And this same phrase, "I will watch expectantly," is used several times in 2 Samuel 18 about David watching expectantly for news of the battle with Absalom. And I guess he wanted especially to know that Absalom was safe, that Absalom had not been killed, etc., even though Absalom was trying to kill him. And, well, he waits expectantly for news of the battle, and it is that Absalom is dead. And this was obviously not at all what David wanted. So you can pray to God and watch expectantly, but the answers may not be, as they weren't in David's case, that which he expected or wanted, really. And I think that is where it is absolutely critical in prayer to realize that this is part of a dialogue with God, and that we are not of ourselves seeking to direct God in a certain way.